This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Trauma Alert is the podcast that brings you current information in the field of trauma and acute care surgery. I'm your host, Trauma Bay. Today, we're reviewing the AVERT shock trial, which is a randomized control trial regarding the use of vasopressin in trauma patients. So first, let's review the physiology of vasopressin. Vasopressin, also called arginine vasopressin, also called antidiuretic hormone, ADH, is a protein hormone synthesized and stored in the hypothalamus. It travels through hypothalamic neurons and is released into the posterior pituitary, where it is then released into systemic circulation. ADH is the primary hormone responsible for maintaining blood osmolarity. Hyperosmolar states trigger its release. Hypothalamic neurons have osmoreceptors that are exquisitely responsive to osmolarity changes. ADH then acts primarily in the kidneys to increase water reabsorption in an attempt at returning osmolarity to normal. ADH is also secreted in response to hypovolemia. Baroreceptors in the left atrium, carotid artery, and aortic arch can sense a decreased blood volume, which is transmitted to the vagus nerve, which then stimulates release of ADH. At high concentrations, ADH also causes vasoconstriction. So along with increased renal water reabsorption, these serve to increase the effective blood volume and blood pressure to maintain adequate perfusion. In states of hypovolemia, ADH will be secreted even in hypoosmotic states. But hypervolemia inhibits ADH secretion. So even in a hyperosmotic, hypervolemic state, ADH secretion is reduced. Other factors that promote ADH secretion are angiotensin II, pain, nausea, hypoglycemia, nicotine, opiates, and certain medications. Things that inhibit ADH secretion include ethanol, alpha-adrenergic agonists, and atrial natriuretic peptide. Ethanol's inhibitory effect helps to explain the increased diuresis seen with alcohol intoxication. So, what are the ADH receptors in the smooth muscle of heart and blood vessels? Those are V1. What are the ADH receptors in the kidney collecting ducts? Those are V2 receptors. So, now that we've reviewed vasopressin, let's get into the trial. Background. Although 10 to 20% of total pituitary vasopressin stores can be released rapidly during the onset of acute blood loss, secretion diminishes over time despite persistent stimulation. Low levels of vasopressin are associated with catecholamine-resistant hypotension and increased venous capacitance. In addition to vasopressin's fixed secretion rate and relatively short half-life of 10 to 35 minutes, trauma patients losing vasopressin in the blood that's bled out and then resuscitated with vasopressin-poor crystalloids and blood products, overall, this all leads to a state of vasopressin deficiency. Vasopressin levels decrease dramatically in severely injured patients who require at least 5 units of blood products. supplementing vasopressin, restores serum levels, and can improve hemorrhage control. Vasopressin could vasoconstrict injured vessels and shunt blood away from non-essential vascular territories to the heart and brain. Interestingly, when given in a physiologic dose less than or equal to 0.04 units per minute, vasopressin does not augment blood pressure in healthy volunteers and only acts as a vasopressor in deficient states. Vasopressin supplementation can also enhance platelet function and potentially improve hemostasis. Exogenous vasopressin has been shown to improve survival in animal models of lethal hemorrhage, but its use in human trauma patients has been limited. Methods. This was a single-center randomized trial conducted from May 2013 to May 2017 at an urban level 1 trauma center. Trauma patients age 18 to 65 who received 6 units of any blood product within 12 hours of injury were eligible. Enrollment occurred as soon as the 6th unit of any blood product, except cryo, had been infused. Exclusion criteria were hospital transfer, pre-hospital CPR, ED thoracotomy, recent corticosteroid use, chronic renal insufficiency, significant CAD, a TBI needing neurosurgical intervention, pregnancy, age less than 18 or over 65, and/or a prisoner status. Patients were assigned by an independent service using computer-generated randomization. Study kits containing vasopressin or placebo were prepared off-site. Everyone was blinded, including the clinical team, research personnel, patients, and patients' families. Arginine vasopressin was mixed in saline with a final concentration of 0.4 units per milliliter. Either a 4-unit bolus of vasopressin or an equivalent volume of saline placebo, both of which were only 10 milliliters, was given, followed by an infusion at 0.04 units per minute of vasopressin or placebo. And after the surgeon achieved definitive hemorrhage control, the infusion could be titrated from 0 to 0.04 units per minute to maintain a MAP of at least 65 for a total of 48 hours. Patients were resuscitated with blood products in a 1-to-1-to-1 fashion and crystalloids as needed, using end goals of lactate, urine output, hemoglobin, and/or INR. So the MAP of 65 was maintained for 48 hours. Other non-vasopressin vasopressors were used as needed in addition to the study infusion and the blood products. The primary outcome was cumulative volume of blood products transfused within 48 hours, including red blood cells, FFP, and platelets after enrollment. Secondary outcomes were total volume of crystalloid, estimated blood loss, overall fluid balance, and total vasopressor requirement within 48 hours. Outcomes at 30 days were mortality, length of stay, and complications. I won't get into all the details of the statistics, but this was powered to need 50 patients per group in order to detect more than 50% reduction in the total blood product volume, and additional power analyses were not performed for secondary outcomes. Results. Although thousands of trauma activations occurred during the study period and hundreds arrived hypotensive and received at least 1 unit of blood, ultimately 100 patients were enrolled. Of these, 49 were randomized to the vasopressin group and 51 to the placebo group. Of the 100 patients, there were 93 men and 7 women. Of the 100, 79 patients had penetrating trauma. Overall, most patients were young Black men with penetrating trauma. Intention to treat analysis. When analyzed individually, vasopressin was associated with significantly less volume of FFP, platelets, and cryo, and significantly less cumulative volume of all blood products. Although vasopressin did not affect the overall complication rate, it was associated with a decreased rate of DVTs. Vasopressin did not significantly influence resuscitation-related complications such as ARDS, mechanical ventilation time, AKI, or time needed for damage control of an open abdomen. Vasopressin also did not significantly affect median ICU length of stay, hospital length of stay, risk of operative death, or overall mortality. And again, this was the intention to treat analysis, which included all of the patients who were enrolled, whether or not they completed the study protocol. The per protocol analysis excluded the 9 patients who died in the OR due to their injuries. So in this analysis, vasopressin patients received significantly less blood products, including red blood cells, FFP, platelets, and cryo, and had improved fluid balance. Although the vasopressin group also received a lower volume of vasopressors, this did not reach statistical significance. Complications within 30 days were common overall, and incidence of developing one or more complications was not significantly different between the treatment groups. Though vasopressin patients had a lower positive fluid balance, this did not significantly alter the incidence of resuscitation-related complications. Vasopressin did not affect the overall complication rate, but it was associated with decreased DVTs, and the mean time to starting DVT prophylaxis was the same between the study groups. ICU and hospital length of stay were not significantly different. And again, that was the per protocol analysis, or the analysis of all the patients who completed the study protocol. Discussion. Early administration of vasopressin during resuscitation of patients with hemorrhagic shock significantly decreased the use of all blood products and improved fluid balance at 48 hours without increasing overall complications. Vasopressin counteracts hypotension by activating vascular smooth muscle V1 receptors, independent of alpha adrenergic stimulation. Vasopressin also mitigates vasoplegia and venous capacitance observed in late-stage shock by inhibiting ATP-sensitive potassium channels and by blunting nitric oxide-induced vasodilation. Unlike catecholamines, vasopressin enhances renal perfusion at low doses by preferentially causing efferent arteriolar vasoconstriction with relatively little effect on the afferent circulation. Vasopressin can also promote hemostasis by inducing exocytosis of von Willebrand factor from endothelial cells, enhancing procoagulant capacity of platelets, and by increasing platelet-dependent thrombin generation. Vasopressin can also conserve intravascular volume by activating renal V2 receptors. In previous studies showing increased mortality in trauma patients when vasopressors were used, vasopressin was actually the only one that is not associated with increased mortality. There was a retrospective study that reported vasopressin use increased mortality. However, given the retrospective nature, it's possible that vasopressin use represents a marker of increased illness severity rather than a direct contributor to adverse outcomes. In this study, there was a median transfusion reduction of 1 liter, translating to roughly 3 units of red blood cells or 4 units of FFP. In addition to being a limited and expensive resource, blood products may independently increase risks of complications, including VTE, multi-organ failure, and death. Blood products are pro-inflammatory, and transfusions may actually promote a hypercoagulable state and increase the risk of DVT. So, decreased transfusion requirements have potentially significant clinical effects. Previous studies have raised concerns that blood transfusions increase the risk of VTE in a dose-dependent fashion, including one that showed one unit of red blood cells doubled the risk of VTE, and patients who received 3 units of blood had a 4.5 times higher risk of VTE. Further research is needed to validate these effects, and further research is needed to explore the potential for vasopressin to modulate the inflammatory response. Limitations. The total dose of vasopressin infused varied depending on the patient's hemodynamic stability, and given technical challenges of measuring serum vasopressin levels, they were not used to guide dosing or duration. Ideal post-hemorrhage blood pressure control remains controversial. Since vasopressin does not influence blood pressure in non-vasopressin deficient patients, both groups were expected to have the same likelihood of needing additional pressors or blood products to maintain a goal MAP of 65. Although there may have been variations in care by the clinical team, they were still blinded to the group assignment. This particular institution sees a large proportion of penetrating trauma. It was in Philadelphia. So a larger multi-institution trial with a more diverse population of trauma patients would be needed to assess generalizability. And with a cohort of only 100 patients, this was underpowered to detect many clinically relevant outcomes, and the sample was not adjusted for multiple comparisons. In conclusion, this randomized control trial showed that low-dose vasopressin supplementation decreased blood product requirements and DVTs in trauma patients presenting in hemorrhagic shock, and a larger study is needed to determine the effect of vasopressin on morbidity and mortality.